faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. Part two in our series on Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger and the Great Reset. Henry Kissinger and the Great Reset. And reality is that this document that I've been going through with you starting yesterday, written in 1974, and it was declassified in 1989, July 3rd, 1989. It was finally declassified, known as the National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200. Implications, well, I guess we should show the screen, but implications of worldwide population growth for U.S. security and overseas interests. So again, Henry Kissinger was behind this document. It's known as the Kissinger Report. It actually says it on the cover itself, the Kissinger Report. He was the Secretary of State, as you know, for Richard Nixon. Now, again, this was released in December of 1974, declassified in July of 1989. When you read it, it reads an awful lot like the Great Reset. It reads an awful lot like the Great Reset. Population control, depopulation, using the media for propaganda, pushing radical environmentalism, climate change, the UN. They're openly stating we're going to work with the UN. It reads like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. It talks about, as you're going to see today and hear today, food crisis, food riots, fertilizer shortages, or the inability to get fertilizer. Sound familiar? Sound familiar, folks? Here we are in 2022, and what is the talk about? Food riots, food shortages. I guess Dan Bongino was on the air the other night telling everybody, get ready for food shortages. It's a real thing. It's really going to happen. It's all manufactured. It's all manufactured. And these guys are going to go back and say, well, we told you guys this was going to happen back in 1974 in our report. Food shortages, fertilizer problems, but, you know, we didn't implement all the policies. Yeah, this is all manufactured. They talk about forced sterilization, of course, eugenics, starting with third world countries. Now, you say, why does this read like the World Economic Forum written by Henry Kissinger in 1974? Well, I did some more research yesterday and last night. I built more PowerPoints for you guys. And looky here at the screen. Look what I found. New York Post. An article back on January 29th, 2022. How a business conference turned into the world's most exclusive party. While studying public administration at Harvard, Schwab, this would be Klaus Schwab, Schwab made friends with mentors like Henry Kissinger and John Kenneth Galbraith. Really, mentors. Yeah, and of course, this is why we can find so many appearances by Kissinger with Klaus and at the World Economic Forum and talking about the same things, pushing the same agenda. Klaus was mentored by Henry Kissinger. So this is not new. This agenda has been around for a long time. It was around before 1974, but certainly it became a part of government policy and implemented in 1974. So let's go back to where we left off yesterday. Part one is up at WVWTV.com. It's audio at worldviewradio.com. So one of the other points in their plan says this. If you guys want to show the screen, you can do that. To support such planning and related development assistance efforts, there is need to increase public leadership in this field. We recommend increased emphasis on mass media, newer communications technology, and other population education. So what are they saying they're going to do? We're going to use the media. We're going to use the media to push this agenda of depopulation, population control, radical environmentalism. What is really global governance? Global governance is international socialism. But today, much of globalism and international socialism is propagandized through radical environmentalism. Radical environmentalism. We have to we have to sign on to international treaties like the Agenda 21, the Earth Summit in Rio, 92, that George H., Mr. New World Order himself, Mr. 1,000 Points of Life Light himself. We have to sign on to international UN treaties or we're all going to die. We have to give up national sovereignty. All of this is pushed under the radical environmentalist agenda. Radical environmentalism is really globalism, masquerading as environmentalism. It's international socialism, masquerading as environmentalism. And they are admitting we're going to use the mass media to do this. Well, here's the next slide. In order to provide the necessary resources and leadership support by the U.S. public and Congress will be necessary. In order to provide the necessary resources and leadership, support by the U.S. public and Congress will be necessary. A significant amount of funds will be required for a number of years. So they're going to need a lot of money to push their global abortion agenda, their global sterilization agenda, their global UN agenda, eugenics agenda. We need a lot of money. Of course, now we see that not only has the government of the U.S. been involved for years, now big foundations are jumping on board, i.e. Bill Gates. And he basically, according to numerous reports, has all but bought the WHO, funds the World Health Organization, tied back to the UN. There is an alternative view. Are you ready for this, folks? This gets kind of radical for them. There is an alternative view which holds that a growing number of experts believe that the population situation is already more serious and less amenable to solution through voluntary measures than is generally accepted. In other words, the problem's so bad, we're not going to fix this through voluntary measures. It holds that to prevent even more widespread food shortages and demographic catastrophes than are generally anticipated, even stronger measures are required and some fundamental, very difficult moral issues need to be addressed. These include, for example, our own consumption patterns, mandatory programs, tight control of our food resources. In view of the seriousness of these issues, explicit consideration of them should begin in the executive branch, the Congress, and the UN soon. So they're saying just good old voluntarism is not going to work. We're going to have to start mandating stuff. Present fertility continued. If present fertility rates were to remain constant, the 1974 population of 3.9 billion would increase to 7.8 billion by the year 2000 and rise to a theoretical 103 billion by 2075. Now, this is very interesting. I mentioned this yesterday, but it's worthy of pointing out. 1974, the population on the globe was 3.9 billion. If they did nothing, the present fertility rate continued, by the year 2000, you'd be at 7.8 billion. That's 22 years ago. But we're just now reaching 7.9 billion. Here today, April 13th, 2022, we're just now reaching a global population of 7.9 billion. Wait a minute. We should have reached that level based on the fertility rates of 1974. We should have reached the 7.8 billion in the year 2000. But we didn't. It's now taken another 22 years here now today, 2022, to reach 7.89 billion. It's literally, yesterday we looked at the Census Bureau, it's just at like 7.89 billion. We're just almost at 7.9. So we're really at that 7.8 number right now. How ironic is that, folks? How ironic is it that we're talking about this right now when the number is 7.8 billion? Almost 7.9. And they're saying in their report from 1974, if we just leave the everything alone and the fertility rates continue, by the year 2000, we'll hit 7.8. Well, we're just now hitting 7.8. Why? 22 years later. Why? Because they didn't leave everything alone. they did begin to fund worldwide global abortion. I believe they did effectively sterilize many people. Go look at all the reports. Even the mainstream media eventually had to pick it up, of the young people that were killed and paralyzed and sterilized through the various foundations that were, I think the Gates Foundation was involved, targeting, and I think they were targeting, the black population of Africa. Go look that up. Which is ironic, because isn't that what Margaret Sanger, the eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who worked with a Nazi doctor, said, the founder of Planned Parenthood, we want to get rid of the weeds. Speaking of minorities, she was into eugenics, the Aryan race concept. And isn't it reported that Bill Gates' father was involved in the leadership of Planned Parenthood? Haven't I documented in previous programs the various fundings that the world, that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have been involved in related to eugenics? I've documented that in PowerPoint slides. So clearly the point is this. If they were going to hit 7.8 billion in population by the year 2000 if they did nothing, but they didn't do nothing, they actually implemented these policies through worldwide global abortion on demand, sterilization, etc., and we're just now reaching 7.8 billion in the year 2022, that tells me our government was involved in the murder of billions of people. Now, some of this, the fertility rate may be dropped off. So some of it has nothing to do with the government doing anything. Fertility rate started to decline. Maybe it's due to what's in the food, related to food, lack of nutrition, all kinds of reasons. The mortality rate for infants in poor countries, other factors. But you clearly have cause to say, wait a minute, they did put these policies into place, funding and encouraging global, quote, family planning, abortion on demand, sterilization. And we can see by their own numbers, they were able to decrease the population. Here's another slide. It is reasonable to assume that the project is unreal. Since significant efforts are already being made to slow population growth. And because even the most extreme pro-nationalists do not agree that the earth could or should support 103 billion people. Famine, pestilence, war, or birth control will stop population growth far short of this figure. Interesting. Famine, pestilence, war, or birth control will stop population growth far short of this figure. How did they know that? How did they know that? Well, maybe some of those famines were manufactured. Are we about to see a famine in America? Well, the fake president, Joe Biden, is telling us we're going to have food shortages. Well, this is all manufactured. How is it that America could have food shortages when we have the farmers that we have? Because it's manufactured. How do we know then they haven't manufactured famines in other countries and pestilence and, of course, war as a means of population control? I think they have. How do we know this isn't exactly what the Great Reset's doing? I think it is. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com. We're talking about this 1974 document known as the Kissinger Report. It's a rather lengthy document, as you can see. Now, watch what will happen the next few days. Now that I've put all the screenshots out there and did all the work myself and read it and pulled the appropriate paragraphs. Ooh, thank you, coffee. Now watch all the lazy talk show hosts that will just grab my research and regurgitate it now that I've read it for them, provided the nuggets of truth, and put it out there. They'll just grab my screenshots, and they'll talk about it, and they won't credit all the hours I've spent reading it. Because most of these talk show hosts out there that you guys all think so smart, they're not. They're lazy. They have producers that do this stuff for them. And some of this audience knows that. 20 years ago, one well-known talk show host, you guys would email and text me, so-and-so must be watching your show. About 2 days after you say something, his show turns around and repeats almost verbatim. Yeah, well, we have known about that, some of their producers monitoring what we talk about and then just steal our stuff. So be watching for this to become a story, the Kissinger Report, in the next few weeks among conservative websites. You just watch, because most of them are too lazy. So they're good on camera and they talk well, but they're lazy, and they have to basically rip off everything else from everybody else. Because it's just like one guy called me, as I told you, can you send me the book? This is a national guy. You'd know him. Can you send me your book, Grave Influence and Marxianity? I'm like, why? I mean, it's one of these people that said, you're too hard on these people. You know, you're too hard on some of these people. Why do you name so many names? And all of a sudden, now you want Marxianity, Grave Influence? What gives? Well, I want to write a book like that, but not name names. I'm like, okay. So I'm a nice guy. I send him the books. He comes out with a book. One of my friends in town, older gentleman, old enough to be my father, calls me up one day, said, I'm reading so-and-so's book. I said, yeah, I heard it's out. I haven't read it, but I heard it's out. He said, he plagiarized you. I said, what do you mean? It's your book, Grave Influence and Ridge's Trojan Horse, that I've read both of those books multiple times. I said, well, that's because I sent him both those books. And he told me he wanted to write a book like that, but not name names. And yeah, you're not cited, you're not footnoted, you're not credited. I had two people to come to me and say, have you read so-and-so's book? I think he ripped you off. I'm like, yeah, well, that's what some people think. So this is not uncommon, folks. This is not uncommon. And if you knew all the guys out there that you think are so smart and so spiritual that are writing books, they're not. Many of them have ghost writers, okay? Many of them have ghost writers. I think that's very dishonest. I think that's very dishonest. To publish a book with your name on it with someone else that wrote the book. I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. I write all my own books. But don't be shocked at the people running around out there writing books, cranking out books. You're like, how on earth do they have enough time to write that many books and do this and do that? That's because they're not. And a lot of this stuff, they're ripping off from other people. So let's just watch and see how much this stuff makes it into the stream the next few days. But at least the truth's getting out there, right? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? They may preach the gospel for self-gain, but be glad they're preaching the gospel. Well, they may put this stuff out there after being too lazy to go dig it up themselves, but at least it's getting out there, so we'll be glad about that. So let's go back to a screenshot from this 1974 report, which, again, is from Henry Kissinger, who the New York Post has said influenced Klaus Schwab. He was a mentor. He mentored Klaus Schwab. And so you're wondering why the 1974 report by Kissinger reads like the World Economic Forum. I think it's coming from the same thought leaders. There are many opportunities bilaterally and multilaterally for U.S. representatives to discuss and urge the need for stronger family planning programs. Now, family planning is a euphemism for abortion on demand. There is also some established precedent for taking account of family planning performance in appraisal of assistance requirements by AID. AID is an international aid U.S. aid development organization. Okay, they provide aid. So what they're basically going to do is say, let's set a family planning performance appraisal in regards to requirements for aid from the U.S. So in other words, show us that you're implementing family planning. Show us you're implementing abortion, making abortion available. Now, family planning, to be fair, also includes, as they admit in here, the pill. And they were even talking about the technology and developing the male pill. But they talk about contraceptives and the pill and other things, right? But you also have abortion. So it goes on from there. Since population growth is a major determinant of increases in food demand, allocation of scarce PL480 resources should take account of what steps a country is taking in population control as well as food production. In these sensitive relationships, however, is imperative in style as well as substance to avoid the appearance of coercion. Ah! In other words, we don't want to look like the U.S. is coming to these third world minority countries, made up largely of minorities, that we're the U.S. coming to these third world countries, bullying them and telling them, oh, you've got to implement abortion on demand. You've got to implement all these programs and coercing you, being very coercive. No, we got to, are you guys asleep in the control room? There we go. We've got to make sure that we're kind of behind the scenes. And they go on to talk about, as we saw yesterday, letting the third world leaders, basically, the low-income development nations, letting them take the lead on this. So we have the United Nations and the U.S., and the U.S. is saying, let's let the third world leaders take the lead on this and take the credit. Why? Because they openly stated this would be better for us. It'd be more politically expedient for us. Why? Because they don't want to be seen as a bunch of white guys pushing abortion and extermination and sterilization on a bunch of minority countries. Yeah. An alternative view. I got to drink some of this hot coffee while it's still hot. All right. The above basic strategy assumes that the current forms of assistance programs in both population and economic and social development areas will be available to solve the problem. There is, however, another view, which is shared by a growing number of experts. Those experts. The ones that said there was going to be a freeze, that we're all going to freeze to death, an ice age. Then a few years later, it's warming. We're all going to burn to death. You know, there's going to be water from the oceans up to the steps of the U.S. Capitol. Those experts, It believes that the outlook is much harsher and far less tractable than commonly perceived. This holds that the severity of the population problem in this century, which is already claiming the lives of more than 10 million people yearly, is such... All of a sudden they're worried about people dying? They're worried about the population problem is causing people to die while they try to figure out how to kill more people. Really? Is anyone buying this? Oh, no. 10 million people are going to die due to population problem. Disease, pestilence, you know, famine. Oh, we're so worried. How can we kill more people? How can we kill more people so that more people don't die? I mean, give me a break. This holds that the severity of the population problem this century, which is already claiming the lives of more than 10 million people yearly, is such as to make likely continued widespread food shortages and other demographic catastrophes. And in other words, of C.P. Snow, we shall be watching people starve on television. Well, we don't have to watch people starve on television. And when they do, why don't we tell them why people are starving? Let's see. Maybe because they live in Cuba, where they can't have cattle without massive government approval, where they can't be an entrepreneur, where they can't be rewarded for planting a crop and selling it at fair market price or whatever the market sets. No, that you sit around and get your government check every month and your bags of rice and beans. I mean, Ron Carlson used to tell us stories. We have the stories of Ron Carlson, who went to Cuba several times telling these stories, living on your rationings in Cuba. Don't you think Cuba's a great climate for growth and agriculture? And are many nations? How about India? Why has India not got better food conditions? Because of their worldview, Hinduism, reincarnation. Oh, can't kill the rats that eat the grain. That might be my aunt. I'm not kidding. I'm not being facetious for those who think I'm joking. I'm not. Why don't they kill the rats that eat the grain, that don't give them enough grain to feed their cattle or feed their people? There's a reason why. Go back to their worldview. Where we see starvation, how much is socialism involved, communism involved, their pagan worldview involved? Show me starvation and let me get to the root cause of the starvation. And it's not overpopulation. Who's stealing the money? Well, you say it's dysentery and all kinds of reasons. Okay? Why is there dysentery? Because of their infrastructure. What's wrong with their infrastructure? It's not clean. You got waste running in the streets. Okay, why? Where's the money going? Where's the money going? Where's the money for taxation going? Where's the money from other countries providing aid going? Is it going into the pockets of NGOs and crooked politicians, crooked organizations, mafia groups, crime groups? You can almost always get to the root cause of why there is a problem with starvation. Sure, famines happen. Sure, plagues happen. Pestilence happen. But generally, you can get back to the root cause. It's not because there's too many people on the planet. On what basis should such food resources then be provided? So that's a question. Would food be considered an instrument of national power? Are you listening to this, folks? They're going to say, we'll feed the third world countries and help them, but we can use it for national power. Will we be forced to make choices as to whom we can reasonably assist? And if so, should population efforts be a criteria for such assistance? So they're going to use food and food assistance and agricultural assistance and foreign aid as the basis for saying, get your population under control or no more. You get involved, you get busy. You get busy decreasing your population or no more help from us. Is the U.S. prepared to accept food rationing to help people who can't slash won't control their population growth? Wow. In other words, are we prepared to ration the food and say, well, then let them die? Wait a minute. A while ago, we were worried about people starving to death on television. Apparently now they're saying, well, we'll help them starve by rationing food to those who can't or won't control their population. Give me a break. Should the U.S. seek to change its own food consumption patterns toward more efficient uses of protein? Are mandatory population control measures appropriate for the U.S. and or for others? Wait a minute, mandatory. Are mandatory population control measures appropriate for the U.S. and or for others? Mandatory. That's abortion on demand. Remember, they were talking yesterday about two-child policy. These adverse conditions appear to contribute frequently to harmful developments of a political nature, juvenile delinquency, thievery, and other crimes. Organized brigandry, that's an interesting word, B-R-I-G-A-N-D-R-Y, brigandry, look that one up, kidnapping and terrorism, food riots. Well, there you go. They mentioned food riots in this document three times. Food riots and other outbreaks of violence, guerrilla warfare, communal violence, separatist movements, revolutionary movements, and counter-revolutionary coup. All of these bear up the weakening or collapse of local, state, or national government functions. Does anyone wonder whether that's what they're doing here in the U.S.? In 1974, they seemed to know how to carry out a coup, how to see local and state governments collapse. Well, maybe that's exactly what they're doing on purpose so they can federalize stuff. We'll use food to do it. Well, they mention again, food riots three times. Three times. And you're going to see next about fertilizers. Now, again, a lot of what they said was going to happen in 74 is happening now. Have they manufactured this? All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. By the way, this document keeps using that term LDC, which stands for Least Developed Countries. You can go to worldpopulationreview.com, for instance, and you want to show that, guys. Here they show you the least developed countries in 2022. Mm-hmm. Niger, Mali, Chad, Sudan, Central African Republic, South Sudan, the Congo, Angola, Zambia, Tanzania, you know, Madagascar, Afghanistan, let's see, all kinds of them here, Laos, Cambodia. So if you're wondering why this document keeps using that LDC, it stands for Least Developed Countries, which, of course, also another way of saying it would be...
Hello?
What? Are you there? Justin? Another way of saying it would be... another way of saying it would be low-income countries, these low-income countries. All right, so let's go back to our PowerPoint as we continue this here. Moderation of population growth rates in the LDCs would make some difference to food requirements by 1985, a substantial difference by 2000, and a vast difference in the early part of the next century. From the viewpoint of U.S. interests, such reductions in least developed countries' food needs would be clearly advantageous. All right. So what they're saying is we have a national interest here of our own. The moderation of I think we have to read that again to make sure we're getting the gist of it. Moderation of population growth rates in these least developed countries would make some difference to food requirements by 1985, a substantial difference by 2000, and a vast difference in the early part of the next century. From the viewpoint of U.S. interests, such reductions in LDCs' food needs would clearly advantageous. Then they go on to say they would improve the prospects for maintaining adequate world food reserves against climatic emergencies. Okay. Now, again, they're going to get into, I guess, the climatic stuff, the environmental stuff, the climate change. But then they go on to mention, again, food riots, chronic social and political instability. They would improve the possibilities for long-term development and integration into a peaceful world order. Here we go. Peaceful world order. Can you say new world order? Basically, what they're saying here is we've got to get control of the population. We can't have too many people. We can't have it having an impact on the U.S. and our interest. We can't, you know, remember, these people buy into a Malthusian worldview that says there's only enough resources to maintain so many people on the planet. Many of them also have a worldview that says that Mother Earth is being damaged. Mother Earth is being hurt. We're damaging Mother Earth. That they've turned everything upside down. Hold on, Justin's calling me. Hey, Justin, we're live on the air.
Yeah.
Huh?
You are? All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we lost you, so all right.
Okay. So I guess we're live still? I know, that was Justin at VCY. What was I saying? That they've turned the human nature, the human nature concept upside down. Okay, Justin's back from BCI. Hey, Justin.
I thought I had you, but I guess I didn't.
We don't. You don't have us. Logan?
No.
They claim that we're off with VCY.
Yeah, you were having some cutouts, and then you just cut out completely.
Okay.
Okay, there you are.
All right, there we are. So we'll keep going. We've been, I don't know what's going on with our recording or our
internet
equipment with VCY, but sorry about that. But we're going to keep going. They got us now. And of course, any of you listening to VCY that missed this, you can catch it tonight at worldviewradio.com when the audio is put back up, because we've got the whole thing in its entirety. So we go back to what it's saying here, which is that the population growth of the world is going to have a big impact on America. And so they're coming from a Malthusian worldview that says there's only so much resource on the world to support so much population. So this is the lifeboat scenario. So the guys in D.C., Henry Kissinger's and others, are saying, okay, guys, the lifeboat, i.e. the world, is getting too full. We got to throw some people off. Who do we start with? Let's start with those minorities. Let's start with the darker skinned folks. Let's make sure that they don't reproduce. Now, does anyone asking yourselves why they're not saying, well, let's make sure that we don't have any of the affluent nations reproducing too much? Why are they concentrating on the least developed countries? Well, the case could be made that they're the least developed countries, they don't have access to abortion on demand. Well, remember, abortion wasn't legalized in the U.S. until 1973. This is 74. So even so, it barely been a year. So you could say, well, the least developed countries, again, they have all kinds of problems, and they need to be educated onto, you know, all kinds of things related to, quote, family planning. Is that really it? Or is it the case that the least developed countries tend to be countries with darker skinned people, and what you got here is a gigantic eugenics program, and they're starting with them? Oh, but don't think you're safe because you're, you know, Anglo-Saxon or a white guy. They'll get to you. They'll get to you. But I think their belief in Darwinian evolution, this is my opinion from years of study, their belief in Darwinian evolution, I believe, has them saying, well, we're going to go after our certain people groups first because they're not as evolved. And then they get to those who are maybe on the plane, they're more evolved biologically, but they're not evolved spiritually. In other words, some of us white folks, we haven't evolved spiritually enough for them. We haven't evolved spiritually at all. In fact, we are retarded in our spiritual growth. And I use that word in the definition sense of we are restrained. We have been no advancement. Because we believe in things like God, right and wrong, absolute truth, the laws of nature, nature's God, the value of human life, man creating the image of God. That to them makes us not spiritually evolved. So while they seem to start out with people that they think are not more biologically evolved because they buy into the, you know, from the goo to the zoo to you mentality, pretty soon they're going to go from those who they don't think are biologically evolved enough, let's start exterminating some of them, to, okay, now let's go to those who are not spiritually evolved enough and start exterminating them. So if the white folks think they're safe because they're white, wrongo. This is just where they're starting. They go on to say that, again, food riots, chronic social and political instability, they would improve the possibilities for long-term development and integration to a peaceful world if we could get a control of all these problems. Get control of all these things, and then we can have an integration into a peaceful world order. So what they're saying is, if we can get control of the population, control the amount of people on the planet, eliminate the negative, we can go into the new world order. Now, what is the new world order fully all about, folks? It is about creating heaven on earth. It's about creating heaven on earth in their minds. It's also about taking away, listen now, very important. You're not going to hear a lot of people telling you this because they don't study the worldviews to know why it is they do what they do. Most people, you ask them in the street, what's a Malthusian worldview? They don't know what that means. Or there's only limited resources for a limited population. Oh, okay. After that, we can start exterminating people. They don't know what that means. But now, of course, this audience does, and many of you already have. But here's why they need to get rid of financial problems, food riots, unstable governments, unstable economies. Because when you have those things, you cannot work with that nation to move them into the new order. They're so dysfunctional that you cannot get them to cooperate on the issues of your new world order because they're all just fighting for staying in power. They're fighting off the coming of the next revolution, the next coup d'etat. We have to stabilize these governments so we control those governments. When you have regimes coming in and out, coming in and out, coming in and out, they're not there long enough for us to influence them, to control them. And we can't go into a new world order of a harmonic convergence with all of this strife and food riots and economic problems and wars and political unrest. So we have to stabilize things so we can control it. Now, once we start controlling the lack of food, the lack of economic resources, guess what happens in their worldview? Crime disappears. Crime disappears. All the negative things in our world start to disappear. And pretty soon, heaven on earth breaks out. Because you know why we have crime, folks, in their worldview? It's not because man was created sinful. It's not because of original sin, because of one man's sin entered into the world, Adam. No, they don't believe that. They don't believe in the original sin, the fall. What they believe is that man is simply a product of his environment. Man does bad things because man is in a bad environment. Man does horrible things like crime and these kind of things, stealing, theft, because they have needs. Take care of their needs and you eliminate the reason for them to be involved in crime. Now that's completely false. The heart is desperately wicked above all else. Who could know it? And some of the most wicked people on the planet have been extremely wealthy, wealthy people. Dictators and tyrants and businessmen, right? So-called businessmen. But you have to understand, from their worldview perspective, if they want to break into the peaceful world order, they have to be able to control environments, because men are a product of their environment. They're not a product of a sinful, fallen state that is in need of redemption through a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith and repentance, and their life regulated by the sanctification process of the teaching of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life to conform them to the character and nature of God. No, what they need is a good environment. And they'll become a product of that good environment. And we can have, well, the John Lennon song come true. Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Imagine there's no war. So understand what it is their worldview is. It's about collective salvation. How can we save ourselves? Again, they go on to mention terrorism, food riots, outbreaks of violence, revolutionary movements and counter-revolutionary coups. They mention food riots and these things over and over, folks. Well, actually, they mention food riots three times. Sterilization of men and women. Then they go on to talk about forced sterilization. Sterilization of men and women has received widespread acceptance in several areas when a simple, quick, and safe procedure is readily available. Female sterilization has been proved by technical advances. It goes on to talk about, you know, different surgeries and developing new things. Further improvements by the, okay, I'm not going to get into explaining all that, but you get the idea. All right. Increased assistance for family planning services, information and technology. This is a vital aspect of any world population program. Then they go on to talk about the need. Look at this. Family planning information and materials based on present technology should be made fully available as rapidly as possible to 85% of the populations in these key least developed countries not now reached. Essentially, rural poor who have the highest fertility. So who are they going after? The poor. And a lot of these are minority poor. By the way, they want to do what? They want to do family planning and have it reach 85% of the populations. Wait a minute. Didn't Phyllis Schlafly tell us back in her article in 2011 their goal was to eliminate 85% of the world's population? Interesting. Phone lines open. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let me show you the last slide here. Let me get to it. All right, here's the last slide that I've got so far. Utilization of mass media and satellite communication systems for family planning. Utilization of mass media for dissemination of family planning services and information. So they're openly talking about what? Propaganda. So let's go again through what we were talking about earlier, and that is what's in this document. Somewhere in here, did I miss the part about fertilizer, or did I deal with that yesterday? Because I know I have a slide in here that deals with the issue of fertilizer. I think we got to that yesterday. But let's recap. They're talking about population control or depopulation, propaganda, environmentalism, the United Nations, food crisis, food riots, fertilization cost or shortages, sterilization, forced sterilization, two-child policies, expansion of abortion, eugenics, the new order, the peaceful new order. They're talking about letting people starve, should we consider using food as a weapon? Does that sound like today? Does that sound like the Great Reset? It does to me. But it's all from this document, 1974, the Kissinger Report, declassified July 3rd, 1989. Well, again, maybe it sounds like the Great Reset because, as we just saw from the New York Post, Klaus Schwab was mentored by Henry Kissinger. And thus, the Kissinger Report is part of the Great Reset. Let's go to the phone lines. Brad, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us,
Brad.
Wrong day. What's that?
Wrong day.
Wrong day? Oh, John. I'm on the wrong day. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong screening day. Well, I'd love to talk to Brad if you'd call in. Let's see.
John.
Let's go to John. No, really? Yeah, John in Pennsylvania, line one. John, thanks for calling in, John.
Yeah, hi, Brandon. I know you're big into freeze-dried food companies, but I'm having a major problem trying to find any of these companies that will make anything appropriate for diabetics. I'm starting to wonder if they want to eliminate diabetics.
Yeah.
But I can't find anything.
Yeah, let me comment on that. Obviously, it has to do with the issue for most of these companies now about the demand. These companies not only get demand from individuals ordering, they get demand from government agencies. They get from all kinds of NGOs. They get from retail stores, camping stores. And since COVID broke out, the demand has been off the chain. Now, the other issue has been labor. Everybody's having labor issues, getting people to work, right? Because nobody wants to work because they can sit at home and make a lot of money watching television and get a government check. So for a lot of them, John, that it's just a matter of them trying to stay afloat. It's not that they're out for the diabetics. Now, a lot of people demanded more and more stuff related to gluten allergies. And guess what? They started developing that. When the demand for the public was so great that they needed to meet that demand and they could meet that demand and they could justify that, they started offering up gluten-free. But I don't think they're wanting to do that other than it's many of them right now, John, are just fighting to stay open and have enough employees and fill their orders. It's of course, that's what happens when the government comes out and the fake president comes out and tells you there's a food shortage coming. So, yeah, it's an issue, John. I totally get it. But we watched the food industry, the free trade industry, go from not really having anything for gluten people who have gluten allergies to having full entrees gluten-free. All right. And just so you know, we have stopped all of our sales. We've stopped all of our sales. You can't even get it off our website anymore because of the demand issues. So we're putting a hold on everything for us, filling the orders we have before we take any more because it's gotten that out of hand. Let's go to Tony, line two. Tony, thanks for calling in, Tony. Well, you guys should have ordered when I told you to because remember I was telling you guys this was going to happen.
Oh,
go ahead, Tony.
I'm listening to feedback. Well, I wanted to say I learned about a lot of the stuff you're talking about in 74 as a 13-year-old boy, but it was so far-fetched then that how much could you pay attention to at that time?
Right.
And it's amazing that you brought up the John Lennon song, Imagine. I knew what that was all about when I think it was Barack that was using this song. Also, another Beatles song is The Tax Man, about taking all your money, or be thankful I don't take it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. Let's go to Trisha. Trisha, line three. Trisha, thanks for calling in, Trisha. Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Brandon. First-time caller.
Yes. Thank you, Trisha.
I just wanted to ask if you've ever seen the movie Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone.
I have not.
That is a movie that every time you talk about this perfect, peaceful New World Order, it makes me think of the world they created in that movie.
Wow.
You should check it out.
Well, it's interesting how Hollywood often has in movies what they really want to see come to pass. The worldview of people does come forward in movies, doesn't it? It really does. Wow, okay.
It does. And I've told my friends, I said, so many movies we've seen, that is the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a friend of mine that came out of the military intelligence as a scientist doing things in the military intelligence arena. He says, a lot of the stuff you see in movies you think is fake, it's not. It's not fake. That's really available. Or it's not available now, but it's being worked on and will become available. So a lot of the stuff you see in movies, he would say, that you think is just fake sci-fi, it's either available or it's going to be. It's being worked on. Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, they did that with the guy that did all the movies like Hunt for Red October. What was that guy's name, Justin?
No idea.
That's because you're so young. The guy that passed away that wrote all those movies and books that turned into movies, Tom Clancy. I think at one point the government visited him and said, how do you know all this stuff? Because he was writing and putting things in his movies that were actually real that was not public knowledge yet. Let's see. Adam, line four. Adam, thanks for calling in, Adam.
Yes, I was curious on why the bird flu was spreading fast as it has, and so I decided to do some research on it, and I found an article saying they were doing gain-of-function research on the bird flu, just like COVID.
Well, you know what? I have an article that was sent to me today by Tom Littleton saying, hey, you should read this. World Economic Forum's all reporting about this bird flu. And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means they'll have to start and will encourage people to kill their chickens and their turkeys. And so say goodbye to chicken and eggs and all the stuff that we have with egg products. And, of course, Thanksgiving's coming up, next fall. So all of these things, are attacking over the food supply. So one has to wonder, don't they, Adam? One has to wonder, don't they? Yeah. Well, again, food riots, food scarcity, using food as a weapon. 1974 classified report, Kissinger report, comes out in 1989. Food as a weapon. Huh. Food to control population. Food to control people. Well, that's what we warned about in my series last year. The great collapse is necessary for the great reset. By the way, don't forget the Rockefeller tip report. Resetting the table, nationalizing the food industry. Well, that's what you're going to have to do if you start rationing food, right? Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.